I want to, if you want to, you know, they always want titles, so I give them titles. It's called The Power of Your Attitude. You know, I want to share some things with you tonight that will help you to live a successful Christian life, but it also will help you in the natural. I am a different kind of a minister. I like when I do a sermon, I like for it to be able to minister to you in the spiritual side, but also on the natural side, because I've found that the same principles that it takes to be successful in natural life is the same principles that it takes to be successful in the spiritual side, the same disciplines and so forth. Ephesians 4:22. I'm going to read this from the New King James and then also from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, in the NLT, it says it like this: throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deceit. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, you notice that it says put off or throw off. And then it says put on. You know, in the natural, if we got an old worn-out coat, we got to put it off and we got to put on a new coat. Right? See, you know, how many of you have ever gone through a storage building and you realize you needed to throw off some things? So in verse 22, we said, put off, throw off, throw away, get away from it, in other words. And then it says, put on the things of the new life. Now, verse 23 tells us how to do, tells us the key to putting off and putting on. And I like what the NLT says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then the NLT says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And, you know, verse 23 says, be made new in your attitudes of your mind, the New International Version says. The Amplified Version says, and be consistently renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You know, here we're talking about attitudes. You know, it's a challenge sometimes to have the right attitude. We have to work on it. You know, some people say, oh man, they got an attitude. And most of the time when they say that, that's not good. It's bad. You know, our thoughts actually cause us to have our attitudes. Let me put it that way. Our attitude or the attitudes are the thoughts that cause us to develop habits and strongholds. Anonymous says, a guy said this, I don't know who said it, thoughts dwelled upon become imaginations. Imaginations entertained will form attitudes within us. Our thoughts are the seed of our attitudes, and our imagination is the soil in which our attitudes grow. You know, everybody has an opportunity to have a good attitude or a bad attitude. Hugh Downs said, a happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. You know, somebody else said this, growl all day and you'll feel dog tired at night. Attitudes in life actually determine our performance and actually determine our outcome. You know, now, of course, I played a lot of sports in high school, and playing sports. And I was watching a little bit this afternoon before we started over here. I was watching a replay of the Cowboys playing somebody, the Bengals, Cincinnati. And then some people think it's all physical. Well, it's true. You do have to have some physical ability and some talent. But the big difference in players that continually win and good players who consistently finish second and third is their attitude. Their attitude. Their level of desire. The attitude of I want it. You know, and they do what, and you got the attitude that you want it, you will do what is necessary to get it. Like if you want to have a good spiritual, strong spiritual life, then you'll have an attitude that will get you doing what, reading the word and praying. That's the two things that'll help you. You know, when I was running track in high school, you know, the coach who used to let us go, I did track and football and baseball and basketball, but track was my best sport. And, you know, he'd let everybody go, and they'd all go into the dressing room, and it's crowded in there anyway, and they're in there, everybody taking a shower, getting, you know, cleaned up. And I'd stay out there, and I'd run 5 or 6, 8, sometimes 10 more, 220 yards, because that was my specialty, was the 220. Now, not the 200 meters, this is 220 yards. There's a difference in. And then we had those old cinder tracks with those old long spikes about like that. And if anybody ever got stepped on, it'd go all the way through your foot. I don't know if any of y'all run track. And if you fall on those cinder tracks, you'll be digging cinders out of your knees and your hands for weeks. They don't have it. I went out with, I was coaching Craig in track, and man, and I said, man, I'd sure like to run on a track like this. Man, this is nice. They got the new tracks. But I would put in extra work, extra effort. My attitude was that I wanted to win. And then my dad built into me an attitude. He said, son, he said, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing with everything you got, or don't do it at all. And that was my attitude. Well, that extra few laps that I would do paid off in the state track meet. See, our attitude determines whether we win or lose, succeed or fail, survive or die. Is, you know, and during World War II in 1942, Victor E. Frankl and his family were Jewish. And they were arrested, put into the Nazi concentration camps. His mother, father, brother, and his pregnant wife were all killed in the camps. He spent 3 years in the various concentration camps, one of them in Auschwitz, which was the worst of the bunch. And later he wrote in his book these words, "We who lived in the concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offered sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." I want you to notice that last part. The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude. I think if anybody was qualified to make that statement, it would be this man. You know, this is an interesting statistic. A study by the Harvard University revealed that 85% of the reasons for success, accomplishments, and promotions were because of our attitude, only 15% because of technical expertise. Now, you know, you can work better with somebody who doesn't have much technical expertise but has a great attitude, you know, than you can with somebody who's got all kinds of technical expertise but they got a bad attitude. You can usually teach a person with a good attitude, you can usually teach them technical skills. But a person that has the technical expertise and a bad attitude, you can't get them to accomplish the work that needs to be done to be successful because of their attitude. So I'm encouraging everybody to renew your mind and attitudes with the Word of God. Then you'll find out that it'll improve both your natural life and your spiritual life. Now, attitude is a result of information that you feed into the mind. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, people all the time talking about the Spirit, and yes, the Spirit is there, but the Word of God talks a lot about the mind, because it's our mindset that helps us to live in this world. But the right mindset that comes from the Word of God will help you to be successful. The New International Version says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Now, the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And the Message Bible says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's a pretty good statement right there. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now here it says, tells us what not to do. Don't copy the behavior of the world. I like the Message says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. You see, what we feed upon, what we hear, what we see, what we listen to, what we read, develops an attitude in us. And if we feed upon all the world stuff, we'll start thinking and we'll have attitudes like them. The world is like it is, because the television and everything else, books and everything else, have so gotten into the minds of the population until they even to some of the Christians are changing their attitudes about certain things that the Word of God says are wrong. Come on now. Our attitudes and our thinking come because of what we continually put into our mind. If we put the Word of God up there, then we keep our attitudes and our thinking stays in line with what God said, not in line with what the world says. You know, secondly, this verse gives us instructions, renew our mind with the Word of God. When you renew your mind with the Word of God, it will transform the way you think. It will cause you to think in line with the Word of God, not out of line with the Word of God. Your attitude will be when you face situations and circumstances, oh, not, oh my God, what are we going to do now? But out of you will begin to come, no weapon formed against me will prosper. All my needs are met according to His riches. I'm healed, I'm whole by the stripes on His back. You see, one way, if you just take in what's saying over here, your attitude is, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh. But if you take what the Word of God says, it says, I'm always a victor in Christ Jesus. I cannot be defeated. I can't go under for going over. See, you know, I preached a sermon just the other day about going to the other side. I think I preached that sermon here, going to the other side. And, you know, Jesus fully intended to go to the other side. He went to sleep. And he was asleep, and the boat was tossing, and the waves were going, but he's still asleep because he intended to go to, his mindset was what? He said, we're going to the other side. We have to get the mindset, you know, that, and we, so that we produce the right thoughts and the right attitudes, and that comes from reading the Word of God. You know, maintaining a good positive attitude in every situation will help you to manage the words that comes out of your mouth. Come on now. William James, an American psychologist, said this: the greatest discovery of my generation is that that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. You know, if you get up and start thinking and your attitude, oh, I can't do it, I can't make it, and you won't do it. I know, as playing sports, coaches always used to say, get the attitude that nobody can beat you. You get the attitude from the Word of God that the devil can't take you down from what the Word says. Now, he may come in there, he may come in every direction trying to talk through the eye gate, through the ear gate. You know, every time you may be believing God for something, and then somebody comes up and says, well, you know what? So-and-so was believing God, and they died. Well, that's them. Tell them, look at them, say, that's them. That ain't me. See, if you're not careful, we let the attitudes of the world seep in and steal the Word of God out of our minds. You know, renew the mind. You see, you're born again, and your spirit is born again immediately, but you do, the Bible told you to do something about the mind. You know, attitudes will determine whether you will receive what God has promised you or not. Attitude. Numbers 14, 20 through 24, I'm on from the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. But surely as I live, as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter the land. They have all seen my glorious presence and miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now, this is the story of Israel standing on the banks of the Jordan. And Moses has sent the 12 spies in, and 10 of them come back with a negative attitude. They come back and say, there are giants in the land. We can't possess it. Oh, it's everything God says. Look at the grapes. Look at all of this. It's everything God said it would, but we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb, they said, wait a minute. God said he was going to give us the land. We can do it. We can take it. You see, the 10 focused on the problems, caused them to develop a negative attitude. We can't. And they didn't. Joshua and Caleb, they developed a positive attitude. We can do it because God said we could. God said it. We believe it. And so they focused on the promise and not on the problems. See, we need to focus on the promises of God. It will cause us to have a positive attitude saying, yeah, God can do it. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And you go on down the road. Been there and done that. Clement Stone said this. This is an interesting statement. There is little difference in people. Now listen real close to this. There is little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. That little difference is attitude. the big difference is whether it's positive or negative. How many of you have ever known somebody that they have such a negative attitude that you almost hate to meet them and talk to them? Anybody ever met people like that? I mean, if you're walking down the street and you see them coming, you almost want to go on the other side. I mean, it doesn't matter what the situation is. I mean, they are never happy. They're always negative. Hello? You see, in these verses, the Israelites, it says that God says they've seen all of these things. They know what my promise is, yet they refuse to accept my promises because they're looking at the wrong thing. And that developed a wrong attitude. You know, your thinking develops an attitude. There's a little book out there that a fellow by my same name wrote called Right and Wrong Thinking. Right thinking develops the right attitudes. Wrong thinking develops the wrong attitudes. Right thinking develops the right, develops faith. Wrong thinking develops doubt, unbelief. Hello. Now, it said there in verse 24, Caleb had a different attitude. He saw the land. He was there. He saw everything the other 10 saw. But his attitude was, God said that he's going to give us the land. We can do it. Excuse me. Our attitude shows what is influencing us. You see, what they saw, the giants and everything they saw, influenced them negatively. Caleb saw the giants. He saw all that they saw. But yet, his influence was what God said. I'm going to give you the land. You see, if you see somebody that had a bad, negative attitude, you can count on it. The enemy's been working on them. He's been feeding them a bunch of junk. And I don't care. Sometimes even good Christians can give you bad information that caused you to have a bad attitude. See, now Sister Shirley's sitting right there. In 1978, she got a bad report. She had, what was it, Shirley? 3 months to live. She had some kind of cancer. Melanoma cancer. That was 1978. There she sits. It's 2018.
40 years.
40 years. But you see, she saw that, she heard that, but somebody fed her the information of a book called The Authority of the Believer, I believe it was, written by a fellow that I'm named after. And she started, her attitude changed from a negative, I'm not going to make it attitude, to, hey, this is what God said, I can live, I don't have to die. And she's still here today. It all started with her changing her attitude and her thinking. And I'm going to tell you, the power to experience change in your life comes after you develop new attitudes coming from the Word of God. Ephesians 4:23. Let's wrap this up. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the King James says. The New Living says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Common English Bible says, instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit. Now, it's very true that we have the help of the Spirit of God with us, but the Spirit of God will not override us if we don't change our mindset. You know, See, we can have confidence. The Lord said he's our helper. He'll help us. God is willing to help us change our attitude if we'll listen to what he said in the Word of God. You know, if we make an effort to get the Word into us, if we make an effort to feed upon the Word of God, the Spirit of God will bring a change in the way we're thinking, and it will change our attitude toward life. The Apostle Paul's attitude toward life, he said it two different times. One time he said, I always triumph in Christ Jesus. The other time he said, I'm always a victor in Christ Jesus. That was his attitude. He said, I always win in Christ Jesus. Let me understand, anybody get anything out of this tonight? Now, these same attitudes, the positive or negative attitude, can help you in the natural as well as in the spiritual. If you've got a negative attitude in life, you're gonna walk around and be defeated. See, if we make an effort to get the Word of God inside of our mind, get the Word of God up here, okay? Feed upon it. It'll change our attitude. It'll change our attitude from negative to positive. It'll change us from doubtful and fearful attitudes to an attitude of faith. I can. Paul said it, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. He didn't say spiritual things, said all things. All things. That includes natural as well as spiritual. When you get the Word of God in your mind, it'll help you change your hateful attitude to an attitude of love and kindness. It'll help you change your chaotic and troubled attitude to an attitude of peace and joy. You know, actually, when it all said and done, whether you have a positive attitude or a negative attitude depends on you, not on God. Because he's already told you how to change your thinking and your attitude, so it depends on you. Are you going to believe what God said and live a good, successful Christian life, maintain an attitude of faith in God, or are you going to go the other direction? It's all up to us. It's not up to God. God's already done all he's going to do about it. He told us right here in the Word. You know, our attitudes will either limit or release us to have the move of God in our hearts and in our lives. I say let's determine to develop an attitude that speaks boldly what the Word of God says. And I go back to a statement that my dad had in the flyleaf of his Bible. I got it in this one. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. That's it. Anybody get anything today? Amen. Your attitude determines your altitude, in other words. Hey, Father, we spoke to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their pure minds, to get them to realize that if they take the Word of God and hide it in their minds and renew their minds with the Word of God, it'll change their thinking. It'll change the way they live. It'll change the way they act. It'll change their attitude toward life. And I thank you, Father. I realize not everything I said tonight was needed by everybody, but something I said tonight was needed by everybody. May they take that part that was needed and may it be rooted in their heart, and may they make all the adjustments that are necessary to live a complete, successful life for you, both in the spirit and in the natural. In Jesus' name, we ask, amen. Praise the Lord. With your heads bowed for just a moment, I never, even if I know everybody there, I still never like to have a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you need to rededicate your life to God, you know what it is. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. All you got to do is raise your hand, acknowledge it, and we'll pray with you. We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. And if you know you're a born-again Christian, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible said. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand, and you'll leave here tonight different. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God for all of His blessings and the Word of God that you're going to put in. Change your mindset. Change your attitude. Just talk to Him. Tell Him, I talk to God like I talk to you. Just talk to Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, anybody need prayer for healing? We'll pray for you. If you need prayer for healing, step out and come down here and we'll lay hands on you. The Bible says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not going to, shall. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right.
Every area in my life.
Okay.
I need to know.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I need the Holy Spirit.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all the things that this man needs, healing in his body. Father, I thank you for filling him with the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name. Hey, I want you to go with this man right behind you to a special place of prayer. He's going to work with you. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on Charlotte. I thank you right now. The healing power of God flowing in her body to effect a healing and a cure. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God, everybody. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Well, for our first-time guests, would y'all go and find them and take them so they can give them that special gift that we put together for them? It's a really nice gift. You're going to like it. Amen. Come back and be with us. We have Sunday morning on Sunday night, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock right here. They started Saturday night services. I didn't want to do the video thing, so I said, well, we just have a Sunday night service. Now I can be here. I can come over here. So that's what we do. And when we're in town, we're normally here. Praise the Lord. If any of you ladies want a hotel room for Kindle the Flame, see Miss Heather right there. Right, she'll be in the back there in the fellowship hall, I guess. All right. Praise God. Shake hands with everybody. It's next Sunday night right here. God bless.